The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No, no, no. Alawa. Who need that?
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Welcome to the Forcecast. This week's episode for January 26th. 2007. Remember, we are the official podcast for TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. We're your weekly dose of Star Wars, your source for Star Wars news and commentary. What other taglines do we have? The galaxy is listening.
Galaxy is definitely listening. Love that new jazzy tune, by the way.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you to Jimmy Mack for that wonderful announcement. I am Jason, and with me, as always, my best buddy Pete.
Standing fast.
And you, my friend, are coming off of your microcast this week.
I hope everybody tuned in and enjoyed that. We're going to try and keep them rolling.
Well, we promised you that when we had initially decided to try to, I don't know, give you more bite-sized pieces of Star Wars news throughout the week rather than one big long show, we promised that we would not sacrifice the segments that you have come to know and, according to your emails, have come to like quite a bit, including EU Character of the Week, Jay's Intro to the EU. So this is our way of kind of spreading it out a little bit more, and you did a wonderful job, and I really appreciate you doing that, Pete.
Why, thank you.
So make sure if you haven't downloaded or listened to Pete's microcast from earlier this week, it's fantastic. So make sure you do that. He's got some EU news. He had a character profile on Asherad Het.
Yes, that is correct.
Did I pronounce that right?
I went with Ashred, but
Ashred.
That's just because it's easier for me to say. I'm sure we'll get a couple of emails telling us how to say it, but Ashred Het sounds great. He is the Tusken Jedi.
Right, and that was very cool. It's a great story. So if you're new to the EU, what a great character to kind of kick things off with. So, and of course, Jay's Primer covering the Rebellion era. So a lot of good stuff.
Lots of good stuff.
Now, this week's show, I'm going to say this at the outset, is pretty heavy with collecting news, which is going to be good for some of you, and some of you are going to be upset. But the point is, what we try to do here at the Forcecast is give you an overview of the biggest news of the week. And if it happens to be collecting, it happens to be collecting, right?
So be it.
So that's what we got. Now,
so be it.
Now you're doing your affected We want to give some a shout out here to our sponsor. We want to thank them. They're always there for us. Official Picks. They make this show possible. Make sure you check them out at officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X.com. If you've ever wondered about those folks that do the voices on the Cartoon Network Clone Wars series, or did the voices, where you could get an autograph from one of them, look no further. Officialpicks.com. Right now they have a really cool personalized Clone Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi photo featuring an autograph from voice actor James Arnold Taylor. So there's three different images that you can choose from. So
he nailed it.
He did.
It was very good.
He's frighteningly good. He's much better than the guy that we always joke about this, the Obi-Wan game.
Yes.
The Xbox game.
I'm not sure. That was my favorite line because I just ran into a wall the same time. I'm not sure.
Oh, my gosh. And I borrowed that game from you, and I thought, I think Pete's hatred of this voice guy is a little absurd. And as I was playing it, the more I played with it, and you know I'm a horrible gamer, so he was not sure a lot when I was at the controls, I'll tell you. So, at any rate, some other things we wanted to talk to you about here. This is sort of the time where we mentioned different promotions going on in the Star Wars community. StarWars.com is, along with Hasbro, they've got a cool promotion starting February 2nd, They're inviting fans to show the world just how they use their new Force Action lightsabers. Now, of course, these are the spring-loaded sabers from Hasbro. So what they want you to do is post a video demonstrating how you use your Force Action lightsaber. They're going to have a special YouTube group, which will be announced on February 2nd, and the winning video is going to win a trip for four to Celebration 4 in L.A., and a one-of-a-kind chrome Force Action lightsaber. So, not bad.
Very cool. There are some rules that you have to make sure you watch, though.
Oh, yes.
And it's got to be less than a minute. Nothing obscene or inappropriate. Keep it clean. And no videos will be shown showing the lightsaber harming animals or people.
So no sneaking up
behind your brother and shooting the lightsaber into the back of his head and then running off and thinking that's going to win.
Yeah, save that for America's Funniest Home Videos. So, keep tuned in over at StarWars.com for all the details there. We'll have a link to our show notes to the particulars, but it looks like February 2nd is the day when they'll announce everything. Also, our good friends at the 501st wanted us to announce that they're on the lookout for some families going to Celebration 4. Now, if you listen to the interview with Albin and Mark and all the other guys, Dean, that we had last week, you'll know that these guys they've got the inside track, and they often know of really, really cool things and cool news before it breaks. So they're being a little cryptic here. Basically, they're asking if you live in a major urban area in the U.S. and are going to Celebration 4 with your family, they'd like to hear from you. So in 150 words or less, you need to tell them what creative and or unique ideas your family has been working on to prepare for C4. And a few of the respondents will be picked for a very special project. So to participate, send an email to pro at 501st, that's 501st.com, and make sure you put C4 family in the subject line. And don't forget to include your name, city, state, phone, and a valid email address where you can be reached. So, you know, what could it be? We're left to wonder. But if it's the 501st,
it's going to be cool.
That's right. Also, last week we had asked you to dig the Forcecast. The social news website, dig.com, has added a podcast section where you can go and not only dig the Forcecast in general, but individual episodes. And you guys, as always, we have the best audience, I tell you. The best audience in podcasting. The smartest, the nicest.
Most dedicated.
Yes, the best. You have done it, and we're approaching some decent numbers, but continue to do that. If you've already dug the Forcecast in general, know that you can continue to dig the new episodes as they come out. So, you know, and hey, punish us. If you didn't like an episode, you don't have to dig it. It's a great way for us to know which shows you liked and which shows you didn't like. So that is another outlet for you guys, and it helps us. So that's dig.com. Now, you do have to register. Great site. They don't spam you. They don't send you anything. And once you're registered, Pete, you found out it's a fun site to hang out and read a lot of different news and expose yourself to a lot of different podcasts, too.
Absolutely.
So we want you to keep doing that. Something else we want you to keep doing, too. That's right. We want to keep you counting down the weeks to Celebration 4 with us. The road to Celebration. Now, in an attempt to not exclude all of our wonderful listeners outside of the U.S., if you're planning to head out to Celebration Europe, also coming up this summer, the first email transmission with some words on accommodation and the event planning and an overview of the autograph program went out earlier this week. So a snippet from the newsletter says, hey, welcome to the first edition of Celebration Europe News. The big event is now only 7 months away, and over the coming months, more and more exciting news and information will be announced as July approaches. The newsletter will be the source of official news and inside scoops. So you want to make sure that you're signed up for that. And they did announce that Showmasters is going to be handling the autograph portion for Celebration Europe. So congratulations to them, and congratulations to all of you that are going to make it out to Celebration Europe. We'll have all the news as it develops. But Pete, as far as tips, what do you got? How many weeks?
We are at 18 weeks, and this week's tip is maps. Now, when I say maps, I mean bring maps to everything and anything. Everybody knows that when you're going to a foreign city, well, not foreign country, but foreign city, someone that's unfamiliar to
you. I'll tell you what, to an Ohio boy, L.A. is going to be like a foreign country.
You know, and I'm not just talking L.A. the city, I'm talking the airport. LAX is, from what I've heard, a giant airport, and it is a zoo. The convention center is humongous. It's going to be even bigger than Indianapolis's convention center, which held 30,000 people, and there's going to be tons of hotels. Make sure that you've got maps of all those. Now, I know what you're saying. I can't be carrying around maps. I'll look like a tourist. But let's be honest. We're all going to be wearing Star Wars paraphernalia. The 501st is going to be wearing their outfits. They know why we're there.
Right.
So there's no real reason to try and fool them. You know, just go ahead. Have your map with you.
You'll be wearing your Episode 7 Pretty Please, Mr. Lucas shirt.
At least twice. I hope they have laundry service. If not, you may not want to come by me on the last
day. Well, I'm rooming with you, so I'm hoping they have laundry service, too. So 18 weeks to go. That's a great tip. Make sure you have maps of the city, maps of if you can get a diagram of the airport and the convention center so you can kind of plot yourself. You don't want to be late for anything because it's going to be awesome. 18 weeks to go. It's a celebration.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
And our top story this week, Star Wars Insider and Hyperspace, the official fan club, are parting ways. That's right. There's a new publisher in town that's going to be handling Star Wars Insider, starting with not this next issue that's due out. I believe that's due in our mailboxes any time. What is that, number 92? Or is it 93? I'm not sure. But anyway, it's not the next one that's coming to your mailbox, but it'll be the one after that. IDG is out, and Titan Magazines is in. Now, there's a couple facets to this story. One, obviously, they're getting a new publisher. So what does that mean exactly? Well, we don't know. There's very little detail on it. We do know that Titan handles the fan magazine for the folks in Europe.
So veteran presence.
Right. And not only that, but, if you've been in at a newsstand lately, you've seen just a litany of magazines dedicated to TV shows like Lost, 24, Star Trek, Charmed, Smallville, Stargate, you know, Prison Break. My gosh, they all have Grey's Anatomy? Really? A magazine? Okay. So, these folks know what they're doing in terms of putting together magazines based on properties like TV shows and movies. So, I would imagine we're in pretty good shape. If anybody is a current subscriber to the Star Wars magazine that Titan's currently doing for Europe, please send us an email, podcast@theforce.net. Let us know what to expect, because I actually have never seen an issue of that. So... now, also part of this announcement is that Hyperspace and the Insider are now two completely separate entities. The pro side of that is that you're not going to have to subscribe to one when you subscribe to the other. So it's going to probably lower the cost to both. The downside to that, I don't know if you were a big fan of some of the behind-the-scenes features that you got as a Hyperspace and Insider subscriber, where, you know, there'd be some extra stories that didn't maybe fit into Insider that they would throw in Hyperspace. I know I actually read, you know, some of those. It was kind of neat. Pete, what do you think? What does this mean?
Well, obviously, it's a move to a different way of thinking, a different path, if you will, a different destiny, as far as this goes. It's been, how long has it been? A little over a year,
I think. It seems like just yesterday we were getting the announcement that Peso was out and IDG was in.
Right. And they've done a spectacular job. I've really been happy with how the magazine has progressed. Yeah. But obviously they felt that Titan could either do something different with it or was more able to handle the load.
Yeah.
We don't know what the meaning is behind it, but it just means that they're going to take it and they're going to do something new with it because when you bring in a new group, they have their own ideas.
Sure.
So, but I'm very confident that that will be something that will be beneficial for everybody.
If you're concerned, if this has raised any concern, I personally think this is going to be a good thing in the end. I think that fans have been wanting this for a while. They, you know, either, let's face it, the future of print media as we know it looks grim. Now, that's not to say that there's not a segment of fans that would rather have the tactile, you know, getting the magazine every month. I like both. I like having it both ways. Moving on. Yes. Don't give me that look.
This is a family podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
But I like the option of being able to kind of have my magazine with me at work, maybe on the computer or something. So I think there's going to be, you know, a downside to it in it, you know, to a degree. But I also think I have high hopes for the direction that Hyperspace is trending. And this contest that we talked about at the top of the show about providing them with a video, it kind of leads me to believe that maybe the future of Hyperspace is going to be more fan-generated content and less of a news outlet for Star Wars.
A little more of a social community, a social experience as opposed to...
Yeah, this Web 2.0 that they talk about. These crazy kids.
Well, and there's a huge community out there. We know that already. And bringing them all to one spot.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Would be awesome.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice? Because I know there are a lot of sites that are dedicated to fan films, and there's a lot of sites, you got your YouTube stuff. It would be nice to kind of consolidate that and make a nice home for Star Wars fan content, even podcasts, you know, like this one, that you could go to, log in, and boom, there they all are.
Yeah.
So I hope that that's the direction that Hyperspace is going. I'm a believer in it. I think that, I have no problem giving them my money every month because I've really gotten a lot out of it. So I hope that it means good things, but the bottom line is they're going their separate ways, so we'll probably see less collaboration than we've seen. So the next big story, and Pete kind of talked about this a little bit on his microcast earlier this week, but it is official that the final five names are in for the Darth Who contest. Now, if you've been living under a rock, no offense, you know that Jason Solo has turned to the dark side in the Legacy of the Force timeline or their series of novels. So what that means is, and this is really a cool contest, is that they're letting the fans name, to give Jason his Sith name. So here they are. The finalist names are Acheron, Cadus, Judicar, Paxis, and Tarall. Now, you just put Darth in front of all those. So, all right, Darth Acheron. What does that mean? Well, apparently it means a river in hell for those who deny justice. Darth Acheron. Darth Cadus. Cadus meaning a battle of darkness. Darth Judicar, meaning the final judge. Darth Paxis, the bringer of peace. That doesn't sound very Sith. And Darth, depending on your point of view.
I was going to say,
yeah.
Now we will have peace. That's number two in the bad Ian McDiarmid impressions that have come off today.
And finally, Darth Tyrall, or Tyrall, ancient Sith for he who protects. Pete, what's your pick?
I really like Darth Judicar.
Okay.
I don't want to influence anyone, but even before I had heard that it does mean the final judge, that just kind of fit in with how I'm envisioning this whole thing playing out, that Jason's personality is, you know, he's fed up with everything.
Right.
And he's turning to the dark side because that he ultimately wants to take control and be right. the final judge.
Right. He thinks that he knows better than anybody else.
Right. And we've seen that before from the Sith, let's be honest.
Right. Right. And yes, I think it's a fine name.
I'm sensing a but.
Well, I don't know. I like Cadus. Darth Cadus. I think it's very cool. And I was trying to, we were talking before we started the show, and it's like, I'm not sure if I like it because it's really good or if it just sounds familiar to me. I don't know. I don't know. It kind of.
But in A Battle of Darkness, what describes the Sith more than anything else is,
right.
is that fight that they have to go through to decide whether they're going to go
exactly.
to the dark side or stay on the light path.
Well, if you have an opinion, go ahead and log on to StarWars.com, and we'll have the link to our show notes, and you can vote. Voting is open now, and will be continue through February 27th, and then the winner will have the great honor of being the one who named Jason Solo as a Sith, and that will be revealed in Star Wars Legacy of the Force Sacrifice by Karen Travis.
And what other property lets you name characters in it?
I don't know. It's darn cool.
Yeah.
So, well, that's your hard news for this week. Now we got lots to talk about with collecting. And we're going to lead off with some pictures that were revealed this week for the vintage 30th anniversary collection figures. Now, as you know, we've had two assortments of the vintage figures, which is where they take a new take on a character that was, or a figure that was made back in the vintage days, and they put it on a vintage card, and they put a nice bubble wrap on it, or bubble wrap. Yes, and you snap it, and it goes pop, 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 pop. They put it kind of in a blister pack. To add some extra protection, and they double the price of the figure too.
Yes.
But at any rate, so the latest wave for this that's going to be part of the 30th anniversary collection. Now we're talking about 3 3/4 figures here, folks. Have been revealed. Our friends over at 4inches.de scooped us. They scooped us.
They do get the scoops.
They do. You know, we're gonna have to talk to you know, him over
that
there
guy.
At any rate, here are the figures. They are, and I believe that we've known for a while who these were going to be, but it's nice to see the photos. We've got Han Solo in his Hoth gear. We've got a Hoth Stormtrooper or Snowtrooper. We have IG-88. We have Bosk, Luke Skywalker in his Bespin fatigues, and Princess Leia in her Endor gear, complete with poncho, helmet, etc. from Return of the Jedi. Okay. Now, last week, we were a little critical. I was a little critical about the Padme. And I said, Hasbro, you didn't get the job done. Well, on these figures, you guys knocked it out of the park. These are incredible.
Totally redeemed yourself. Now,
these
are...
Just when I thought you couldn't do anything dumber. No, they're great.
They're
you
great.
Think?
They're really well-done figures, and... It's hard to take a new take on some of these figures that we've seen so many times before, but these are absolutely outstanding, and I'm a huge fan of this line and really enjoyed the George Lucas mail away that they did. So I'm hoping not only am I going to get to collect these, but I may get a bonus for doing so anyway.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would definitely be nice. Out of all these, and we'll have links, of course, on our show notes, and I know it's difficult for us to be sitting here and talking about these photos when you can't look at them, but just click on our show notes and you'll be able to see them. I think they're all great. It's hard for me to pick a favorite. My sentimental favorite is the Bespin Luke. That figure has always been a favorite of mine through all its incarnations, the vintage and then the two that come to mind that they did in the more modern line. I'm not real happy with the belt that's detachable because I just think it's a little out of proportion. It's a little big. But hey, I'm going to, you know, these are prototypes. They might change it by the time they get. And that's a very minor complaint. You know, this was kind of I had sort of an epiphany, Pete, when I saw these. Because, you know, I've always kind of complained about the extra articulation. And, you know, I just, you know, that's not a Star Wars figure. Star Wars figures look like this. And, you know, I've kind of been boxed into the vintage look. And when I saw that Han Solo, for example, it is just dead on. And for them to accomplish that in a 3¾ figure, my hat's off to them. They're great. They're all great. And I love the Snowtrooper, how he's able to hold the rifle the way he is. It just looks awesome.
You got to check out the photos because we really can't do it justice. But
no, it's hard to do that.
Check them out. They're very good.
And now earlier in the week, there was a post where a French Hasbro catalog for 2007 revealed some new figures and it confirmed a lot of figures. So if you go over to rebelscum.com or look at our show notes, you'll have we'll have a link to that whole list. We don't want to bore you with that. Then later, a number of these, we actually got some photos of. So in addition to new photos of the vintage assortment that's going to be out later this year, we also have some photos of waves 3 and 4 of the 30th anniversary collection. So wave 3, which is a New Hope themed wave, we've got Biggs Darklighter in his Academy outfit. We all kind of figured that that would be the case. And great figure.
Yes.
And
Hats off.
Yeah, I know now that's why, you know, he really does look like that. Obviously, if we've seen the photos, but
he was not cut from the movie, as I made the prior assertion.
Well, you're talking about that scene was
right,
cut.
Exactly.
But no, our good buddy Dustin Roberts sent a DVD of the documentary, gosh, what was it called now? All of a sudden, I'm drawing a blank.
Deleted Magic,
that had all of the deleted scenes from A New Hope. And some of those I had seen on YouTube, obviously. So I'd seen them over the years, but to see them all in context and together, like on this DVD, was pretty cool. Very cool. So yes, I would say based on the DVD that I saw, that's a great figure. Now, there's a new Darth Vader. And you know how Pete and I were pretty, you know, we're tough on Hasbro when it comes to the Darth Vaders, but it's pretty sweet, don't you think?
It's great. This is the first time in a long time that I've been very excited for a Darth Vader figure. And this one I am excited about.
Because of the accessory.
Because of the accessory, yes.
It's pretty cool. Tell them what it is.
It is, well, it's a figure of Vader who is stomping on Ben Kenobi's robe.
It's pretty
His
sweet.
Empty robe.
His empty robe.
Crumpled up on the floor. It really, the image of it is almost overwhelming.
It's cool, and it brings us one step closer to Hasbro giving us the charred remains of Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. Come on, Hasbro. If we can get the crumpled up robe of Obi-Wan's corpse.
I think you're stretching it.
I'm stretching it.
Yeah.
Then, okay. All right. Very good. Also, we've got Ellis Hellrot, who you see in the cantina. Very good figure. They're really, I mean, Hasbro always, I think, does an exceptional job with the aliens. They nail them. The aliens and the troopers, they just seem to really get. The Jawa, and then the Jawa looks pretty darn similar to the previous releases that you've seen. Although I think he doesn't have the salt and the what I call the salt and pepper shaker legs, where they're just, it's just kind of like a hunk. I think he's actually got feet underneath the robe.
It's not a whole lot you can do with a Jawa.
There's not. You're right. But he does have a cool accessory. He has the LIN V8K droid, which is that little dome shaped droid. So there's a new Luke, Tatooine Luke, and, you know, this is another figure kind of like the Vader. I mean, not nearly as many as the Vader, but we've seen a lot of Tatooine Lukes. This one's pretty sweet, I got to say. This one looks good, particularly enjoying the pose that they have him in. It's kind of taken from the scene where Ben gives him the lightsaber for the first time, and he's just kind of holding it in front of him and kind of studying it. It looks very good. And then, of course, the Stormtrooper with removable helmet. And the McQuarrie Signature Series Concept Chewbacca. And, you know, when I was first kind of glancing at these, I'm like, I don't remember this character being in the movie. And then I realized, yes, it's the concept. So And then wave four for Return of the Jedi is we have Oompas Stay, which is Jabba's drummer in the special edition. And Luke Skywalker in the Jedi outfit, complete with bone, as seen in the Rancor pit. I'm sorry, I'm distracted because I this was the one that disappointed me. We've all been waiting for them to finally do a good Jedi Luke, and the super articulated camp won out here, and what you got is, I think, a big clunky piece of poo.
I don't know. I think it looks... you know, he could at least grab the bone.
Look at those ankles.
And...
they're cankles. They're not ankles.
Well, listen. Some people have those, and you shouldn't make fun.
Well, I'm not making fun, but what I'm saying is... and we were talking about this before the show. Look, I mean, when you read the Q&A with Hasbro, they tend to take a very holistic... they seem to want to take a very holistic look. Okay, we're doing this figure. Let's take into consideration all these elements, you know, the kid, the play factor, all these things. And they make design decisions based on those factors. Well, this outfit that Luke wears does not lend itself to a super articulated version. Not only that, but his outer tunic is cloth. And you know how I feel about that. Completely unacceptable. So, big thumbs down for me on the Luke. But everything else so far that we've talked about is big thumbs up. Big thumbs down on Luke.
I just don't think we can please you.
CZ3, one of the droids in Jabba's palace. Pete and I were kind of trying to debate about which droid this was. So, just take a look at the photo.
It's and the only thing that can help you.
This is very cool. This is the Boba Fett as he looked in the holiday special. And this is, you know, there's EU and then there's EU. And to have a Boba Fett done up a la, and I think it's a very, he looks very cool.
It does look very cool. And this is a big step.
This is a huge step.
Because this is actually acknowledgement that it does exist. Because at some point, Lucasfilm had to go, okay, you can make that figure. I mean, we know that
right.
From Daryl DePriest that
right.
You actually have to have permission from Lucasfilm. They're gonna, and it's not like that's going to be one that just slips through the cracks.
No, and I guarantee you, this is one of those decisions that went all the way to the top. All the way to the top. It was at the very end of the meeting, and, you know, they didn't really want to bring it up to him, and they're like, George, there's one last thing. Hasbro, they have this idea. I can just hear how it went down.
They say it and go, I yeah. Duck in the corner.
Yeah, or run away. They want to do something from the holiday special. And they're out the door. And there's all kinds of other photos, too, of from the different lines. But those are the big things that were posted this week. So a lot of really cool news for those of you that are collectors of the Hasbro toys. So
And a couple hints to some of the waves that are due out later. There's going to be a wave that's mostly EU,
right,
which I'm salivating over. It's going to be Anakin, maybe with the tattoos from the Clone Wars, but in a realistic style. Darth Revan, Darth Malak, pre-cyborg Grievous. That one had me salivating. That one's due out very much later, and we don't have photos yet, but those were ones that definitely had me chomping at the bit.
Yeah, it's cool to get those confirmed. So, you know, hey, gosh, it's not even February, and we pretty much have the whole line. It's going to be interesting to see what they do at Toy Fair, what surprises they have in store.
Sure.
But it's always cool to, I mean, even though we know what it's going to be, we don't really know until we see the pictures. So, of course, I'm sure the French will get the catalog.
Yes. Well, and it's always a thrill to see them on the pegs.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. And, well, speaking of seeing things on the pegs, some details here on the final wave of the Saga collection. Now, this is kind of wrapping up 2006 as far as the 3 3/4 figures, and this is exclusive to Walmart stores. And they are expected just about any day now. This includes Aura Sing. Pete, you want to take the next one?
No.
Kitik.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, Kitik Kidkak. Yeah, that's the big, like, praying mantis-looking figure from A New Hope, or character from A New Hope. Nabrin Leeds and Cabe which is that was a repack. That was a exclusive from, gosh, what was that? That was a fan club exclusive, I think.
Internet exclusive.
Internet exclusive. Right. Right.
From Power of the Force.
Right.
As I read.
Yes. La Brea, the Mos Eisley spy. No, excuse me. I'm sorry. From A New Hope, it was one of the Cantina creatures. And let's see. Oh, R4M6, Mace Windu's astromech droid.
Yeah, let's get down to the nitty gritty on this one. Seeing these on the pegs, probably going to be few and far between.
Yeah. I mean, they're first of all, they're cool figures. Yes, they are repacks and retools, repaints. But, you know, Aura Sing and, you know, the Muftak and Cabe, or excuse me, Nabrin Leeds and Cabe, the Cabe was, you couldn't get outside of the exclusive, the internet exclusive, and that was quite a few years ago. So they're going to be in demand. And what's the best news, Pete?
Oh, they're going to be one per case.
That's right. So not only is it a Walmart exclusive, but there's only one of each per case.
And they already just really don't like me all that much.
But the good news is that the Darth Vader Bespin figure is two per case.
I have no comment.
And the kids love Vader, you know. The kids, they just, we got to get Vader in front of kids.
Again, we have to give them credit where credit is due. Because they did come up with a good, cool Vader. We just
have to wait
to get it.
Right. So, yeah. Well, there you go.
All right.
Speaking of exclusives, confirmation that the Order 66 two-packs will happen, and they will be Target exclusives. Thumbs up on the packaging. They've kind of got a tubular packaging. But nothing new. All these are, of course, going to be repacks. But good news for all of you troop builders and fans of Clone Troopers, because, of course, there's going to be one in every pack. So a great opportunity to kind of build them up. No confirmation on price or when these are going to be released, but we know that there's going to be six sets, and we have some photos, or there's some photos up at StarWars.com. So you might want to take a look at that. We'll have the link on our show notes. More repacks, more Revenge of the Sith stuff.
Yeah, but they're doing a good job of taking them and retooling them just enough to make them...
Well, they're repackaging them to make them interesting again.
Yeah, there's an airborne trooper that's with Anakin, and it's painted in the 501st colors, the blue.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's
yeah, he looks cool.
It does look very cool. I have to admit, I will probably pick them up.
But you know, I'm not a troop guy.
I know.
I'm not a trooper guy, so yeah. I'm going to defer to you.
As happy
is this
you,
cool?
As you've been. You've been quite very disappointed for most of the show.
Oh, no. I have not.
This is you being positive. Where are you coming from?
No, I'm happy with everything except for that Luke. I'm not happy with that Luke. I think it's terrible.
Except for the following things.
You know, I was giving him props. I love it. Come on.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know you are.
See how it feels.
Dang nabbit.
Now you know how Hasbro feels.
Yeah. 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 No, actually, I don't. I don't know what it's like to make that kind of money. Are you kidding? No, I would say that out of all the Hasbro news that we covered this week, I give them a 9.5 out of 10. Come on. I mean, I had very few complaints. You know, I'm lazy. I order my stuff by the case, and I'm just annoyed that I got to go out and you know, scavenge the Walmarts. I don't like Walmart.
I don't like Walmart. It's that I'm just not fond of some of the people that show up at the local Walmarts for us.
My problem is I have a tendency to be a little OCD, okay? And Walmart isn't known for being the most organized store. That's why I like Target, because, you know, everything is very neat and organized and fits in my universe just fine. But Walmart throws me off. That's not to say I haven't had some great finds at Walmarts. I mean, they have bailed me out a lot of times. But still... Well, that is your collecting news, and for those of you who aren't big fans of collecting news, we apologize, but that was some of the biggest news of the week, so I think we got something to talk about in the EU.
Dark Horse is releasing Dark Times, its first issue of the year this week. Issue number 2 features a story by Wellis Hartley, and you would know him and Doug Wheatley from prior issues in the Dark Horse series. This is continuing the story of Das Jannar and Bomo Greenbark. So make sure you check that out. If you haven't gone...
Bomo Greenbark.
Yes. He's a little alien guy. He's cute. But fierce. Yes. If you haven't checked out this series, it's another great offering.
It's a home run. The first issue was great.
The four, as it looks now, or I guess Dark Times is taking place of Rebellion. So
Right.
Or not. Rebellion? It's in a previous show. So. But the three offerings that they have
this would be Rebellion era.
Yeah, are fantastic. And if you aren't a fan of the comics or you haven't tried them in a while, give them another shot because there's really some fantastic art and the storylines have been fantastic.
Yes, and they're a quick read. The first one was a really quick read. It was
you can just sit down with a comic and read it in the night.
Some comics.
Well,
not
all of them, but.
No, I mean, I don't know, some of them kind of get, they kind of bog you down a little bit, I think. Knights of the Old Republic.
It's picked up a lot. It's been good the last few issues, so.
All right.
Knights of the Old Republic, it just took a while for it to get going, because it had a lot of story it had to get to.
It's not my favorite era.
They've blocked it out, and now they're just getting to the...
Not my favorite era. Anyway, well, that's your news for this week. Coming up next is the Cantina segment. With a great interview you don't want to miss.
It's the Force Cast with Jason, Pete,
and a bounty hunter named Boosh. And this week in the Cantina, we have three wonderful, wonderful guests. We have Bonnie Burton, Tom Hodges, and Matt Bush. Now, that team put together the latest offering from DK in the Star Wars universe. You can draw Star Wars. And this book, I want to say, I don't have a copy of it yet. I'm looking for it. Pete, you were just at Borders and they were sold out.
Yes. Well, and you'll hear about this later as far as what you need to do when you go to your local Borders. But I went in there. They didn't have it. They said it was in the computer. They didn't have it. And of course, I was down on my hands and knees looking on the bottom shelf looking for it.
The computer said they did have it.
Right.
Okay.
And then it wasn't there on the shelves. So I was on my hands and knees looking for it and then threw a fit. Things got dark for a little while. I woke up in the street. Apparently they're not real big on that, but go out, check it out. And I think after you hear from these guys, you'll see that not only is it going to be a great book, but they're a lot of fun and they know what makes Star Wars fun. So
Bonnie Burton was the writer. And then she got Tom and Matt on board to help her out with, of course, all the drawing. Because Bonnie couldn't handle all the drawing herself, apparently. So
it's a terrible strain on the animator's wrists.
You're right. You never get tired of that joke, do you?
No, it's going to keep going for quite some time.
Well, we'll let them introduce themselves. Here you go with this week's Cantina. This is part one, by the way, of two with Bonnie Burton, Tom Hodges, and Matt Bush. Enjoy.
Where are you going, Master? For a drink.
Sorry about the mess.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
And we're joined in the Cantina with the writer and illustrators of You Can Draw Star Wars. That's right, You Can Draw Star Wars. Not them. You. So we've got Bonnie Burton, Matt Bush, and Tom Hodges. Welcome to the Cantina. Thanks for joining us.
Sure thing.
What's up? Hey, hello.
All right, so let's kind of kick things off, first of all, with the obligatory kind of biographical section, and we're going to let Bonnie go first. Bonnie, how did you get involved with the good folks at Lucasfilm and StarWars.com?
I'm still not really sure. No, I'm kidding. I've done a lot of background type stuff with kids type infotainment and entertainment on, .coms and that sort of thing. And my path just crossed Lucasfilm, and I applied for a job and miraculously got it and decided as part of what I was going to be doing is kind of reworking the kids section because it was StarWarsKids.com. It was a separate site.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got kind of put into the fold with StarWars.com in one of our redesigns. And I noticed on the section that there wasn't anything on how to draw pictures. And I remember when I was a little kid, I loved doing Star Wars stuff. So, and other things too, like I'd mix up my, you know, strawberry shortcake with my Princess Leia's and my R2-D2's and my stuff.
Oh,
so, you know,
you didn't.
Strawberry girl. I had to do that. So I wanted a section, and I knew a lot of the illustrators from conventions and stuff had been doing stuff on the side. I know that Matt was doing stuff with the Kids Magazine, and other people were doing stuff with Kids Magazine. We had a Star Wars Kids Magazine. It was a very short run. And we had tutorials in that, and I wanted to get tutorials in Insider. And Tom was great at teaching kids how to do stuff, too. So it was just kind of like a matter of time before I got a good enough section on the kids section on how to draw. So we have a bunch of different illustrators that do it. So Matt and Tom are great on it, but we also have a lot of the, you know, female illustrators that I always try to get in, like Cynthia Cummins and Amy Provnos and Kat Staggs and Sarah Wilkinson and all those guys. So it's a pretty diverse mix if you go on the website. But I do other stuff for Lucasfilm. I'm working Lucas Online, which is where StarWars.com is, as well as our lovely IndianaJones.com and THXMovie.com. But I also admin the boards and break up, you know, fights on the message boards, which is always fun. And so actually that's more of our moderators. They have to do all that. I just come in when it's really ugly or fun, you know, depending
sure.
on how you call it. Also I do the Star Wars Rock section where I interview celebrities and bands about why they like Star Wars. So I do a bunch of different stuff. You know, we have a pretty small crew, but we do a lot on StarWars.com. So.
No doubt about it. It's amazing how diverse the information is, and you always find new ways to present.
Well, it's funny because our group is pretty diverse in itself because, you know, Pablo Hidalgo is like the expert. You know, he's the hardcore expert. He's written a bunch of books, and he was the guy who wrote set diaries for F3 when he was in Sydney and in the UK. So he's like our hardcore guy that knows everything. And then Pete Zillmer knows a lot too, but he's also like our collector guy. Like, he knows
okay.
everything about collecting. He helped write the poster book that came out last year. I mean, he's an excellent resource. And then I'm kind of like the latent, you know, girly, not so much expert, but I know a ton about pop culture. So I try to bring in the pop culture and the kids stuff, and I started the kids craft section too. So there's like crazy little craft projects you can do on the site and things like that. So we're a pretty diverse group. So I'm still not sure how I got here, but I'm glad I'm here.
Well, I was going to say, Bonnie, I'm heartbroken that you just sort of fell into a position at Lucasfilm.
You know what?
I'm crying buckets for you.
I keep taking my lucky stars, but I'm still not sure how it happened. So, but if anything, it's a testament to anybody that wants a job at Lucasfilm. Even if they think they're never going to get it in a million years, they should just apply. Because if they've got some...
And where do I send that to?
Yeah, if you go, actually, if you go to Lucasfilm.com, we have an employment section. So
yeah.
I'm serious. Like, if you love Star Wars and you've got some talent, whether it's, you know, design or writing or marketing or, you know, engineering, obviously, any of that stuff. Just and that goes with anything, no
sure.
matter what your passion is. If you really want to work somewhere, you make it happen legally. You make it happen.
speaking of that, I think that kind of leads us really well into Matt. Now, Matt, you're a veteran of Star Wars illustration. I mean, it's been over 10 years now, hasn't it?
1994 was the first year that I started doing it. So,
okay.
Yeah, whatever that is, 13,
yeah, 13
years.
13 years
like
now.
That, yeah.
So where does your journey start in terms of... landing this kind of gig?
It's actually kind of a funny story. I'll try to make it as quick as possible. I myself obviously was a very big Star Wars fan. I was into the even the role-playing game and that sort of thing, which back then was done by West End Games. And I noticed in the back of one of the Star Wars adventure journals that they were looking for published writers. And at the time, I had done some underground writing and illustrating for comics, and I was like, no way, this is my in. This is how I'm going to get into doing stuff for Star Wars, right? So So I contacted the folks at West End Games, and I got approved to do a sample spec script, which, you know, didn't mean it was a sure thing, but at least I was given the opportunity to submit something. Well, I asked them if I could also submit artwork with my story, and they said no. They said, we've already got a team of Lucasfilm-approved artists, this and that. But if you want to do some sketches that, should your story be approved, you can submit some sketches, and that'll give our artist kind of an indication of what you'd like to see. So I was like, great, well, that's good enough. So I put a lot into this story. I you know, created artwork for it and did everything, you know, as best I could. Sent everything in. They hated the story. I mean, they just were not interested at all. But the funny thing was, they did say, well, you know, we did like your artwork, though, and, you know, if there's an opportunity that comes up, maybe we can, you know, we can use you for something. I thought that was nice. I was like, well, I'll probably never hear from them again. The very next day, I got a call from Peter Schweighofer, who was one of the main editors there at the time, and it turned out they had an illustrator flake out on them, and they said, can you get us 5 illustrations for tomorrow? And boy, was I up for the challenge. So so I did that, and then everything's just kind of leapfrogged from there. From there, I started doing work for Bantam Books, and then Star Wars Kids Magazine and The Insider, and all these other licensees.
And then Topps, right? You ended up working
Topps.
In fact, absolutely, yeah. Not just any project with Topps. You actually did the artist sketch cards, right?
Yeah. The artist sketch cards. God, there's been so much stuff. Like, right now my mind is, like, blanking out on half the stuff. Mm. You know, there's a lot of weird, rare stuff that I've done, too, that a lot of people... that a lot of people haven't seen, actually, that I haven't been able to share, but... there was a time in the 90s when Mattel was trying to acquire the rights to do Star Wars toys, and I actually did a lot of work for Mattel designing new Star Wars toys, but they were like spec Star Wars toys that no one's ever seen, and I didn't get to keep any of the artwork, but I did stuff like that. I worked on designs for a new Star Tours ride that was never created. Wow. All kinds of.
I tell you what, what Matt was talking about, and I have seen over at Rebel Scum, I believe they do have a story or two. It's pretty limited information about that era when the rights for the Star Wars toys came up, and you had McFarlane, you had Toy Biz, you had Mattel, all vying for this. Bonnie, I think that would make a really cool book, is to talk about. That time and all those different submissions. It'd be very
okay,
cool.
Okay, I'm writing it down. I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm writing on official Lucasfilm stationery right now.
Well, there's another little...
Is that what that sounds like?
Yeah, that's what that sounds like. I'm quiet.
What's that?
There's another little tidbit to that. A few years ago, I think it was in the late 90s, when Dark Horse's renewal came up, all the other companies were vying for it. I remember I spoke with Jim Lee at Wizard World Philly, and for those who are not familiar with who Jim Lee is, who are listening to this, Jim Lee reinvented the X-Men in the 80s and created Wildcats, and he recently did Batman. If you're a comic book fan, you know who Jim Lee is. Jim Lee and Wildstorm, which was his company, which is now part of DC Comics, they were vying for that license also, and Jim and Jeff Campbell, J. Scott Campbell, who's famous for Gen 13... and Danger Girl and other stuff. He's getting ready to do a big run on Spider-Man. They both did samples to show Lucasfilm.
As did Travis Charest, actually. He did some samples,
exactly.
Too.
I would be curious to see what those guys did, like what comic book companies put together to show Lucasfilm. Yep. I'm sure
there you go. There's another book, Bonnie. Listen to this.
I'm writing it down.
This is incredible.
Totally. And also, Topps actually was going after it, too, and I saw some of the stuff that they, back when Topps had a comic book company, they were going after it as well.
Almost Star Wars. There you go. That's the name.
There we go. Royalty check.
Yeah.
Right now.
Crazy.
Directed by Cameron Crowe.
Yeah. Although I imagine
trailer by Michael Mann.
Yeah. The legalities to get that stuff together.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it'd be difficult. So,
oh wow, what a cool book.
Let's look to Tom now. Tom, we heard about how Bonnie just sort of just fell into a position at Lucasfilm. For Matt, he posed to be a writer, but he really was an illustrator. How did you land your job?
My story beats both of theirs. Actually, it starts with Bonnie.
Aww.
About 4 years ago at San Diego Comic-Con, my wife and I were walking the floor, and we came across the Hyperspace. Wait, was it? It was 3 years. Wait, no. It was just when Hyperspace started. Was that the beginning of 2003?
Yeah, I think so.
It was like the beginning of 2003. Like, I think it was right the end of spring 2003. I'm walking around. And I met Bonnie, and Bonnie was working the 2x2 booth with, like, you know, three or four computers, and she had a Hyperspace T-shirt. And I'm like, "Ooh, I want one of those." She's like, "Oh, I can't give them just anybody." I was like, "I'll dance," and she's like, "All right, dance." I was like, "Well, I'll dance later. I'm gonna go walk around. I'll be back." But like throughout the weekend, I would stop back because I had a table in Artist Alley, and I would basically sit in Artist Alley and do $10 sketches, $20 sketches for whoever would take them. And every once in a while, I'd take a break, or my wife would take a break from sitting at the table, and we'd go visit Bonnie. And we kind of started like having a little rapport that whole weekend. We would get to, and at some point, she made it over to my table. And so it was kind of like this thing where we'd go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Now, fast forward to the end of the weekend, I had this little stack of Star Wars sketches. I did like a Padme, and I had like a Luke in there, and Darth Vader, just a whole bunch of random Star Wars sketches. And I go over to the booth, and Bonnie's not there, but this gentleman was over there, you know, with glasses and blonde hair and a goatee, and I say to him, I say, "Listen, is Bonnie here?" He's like, "No, she had to go back already." He's like, "Oh, that sucks. Well, give these to her, and, you know, you guys take one that you like and give her the rest," or whatever. And I thanked him, and I walked away. As I'm walking away, he turns to me and says, "You're Tom Hodges." And I said, "Yes." and he looks at me, and he's like, my name's Paul Enns, and I've seen your stuff online, and I've seen it on the ForceNet. Hey, there's a plug for you. We saw your stuff on the Force.
Oh, come on
we
now.
We really, really like it. And I want to do something with you. But my first reaction when he's like, "I've seen your stuff," I wanted to, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, "Am I going to get sued?" Star Wars are all over the internet. And it literally, you ask Paul, that is exactly my response. Him telling me he's seen my work. And, because, you know...
You know, unfortunately, I think that's what everyone initially thinks when we say, "Hey, we've seen your stuff."
Oh, we've seen you before.
Every
and
time.
We like it, and here's a cease and desist.
That's what we think every time we put out a new Forcecast.
Right.
When's
the
C&D letter? We like what you're doing, but if you don't stop, we're going to ruin you.
Yeah, you just turn and run.
So that was like kind of the spark that started it all. And like then, you know, a couple months later, I mean, at that point, Paul and I were talking like every 3 or 4 days about what we were going to do, what we were planning. He's like, "Well, we have a story. I can't tell you about it yet because George has to prove this, this, and this," because the story was going to directly tie into episode 3. In fact, for anyone who knows what the story is, it was Reversal of Fortune, which it was described to me as Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Kind of like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it was that parallel to what was going on in episode 3. And if anyone who's read the strip knows that it intertwined with not only that, but it intertwined with Labyrinth of Evil and the Clone Wars animated series. But before that even came out, before I even put pen to paper on that, Steve Sansweet had recommended me to Topps for the second sketch card set, which was the Heritage set, in which I did 2,000 hand-drawn sketch cards.
Wow.
I also did 2,000 on Revenge of the Sith sketch cards.
Wow.
But then, you know, along with the sketch cards and then the web strip and then the inevitable sequels to the web strips, I did a T-shirt for the employees for Celebration 3 that had Ayla Secura wearing a T-shirt that was tied at the waist, and she was busting out the Hyperspace logo, and The Bounty Hunter t-shirt for the president contest that had Ora Singh and Bossk on it.
Mm-hmm.
I did that.
Very cool.
That was my work.
And who? Praise I'm me. Sorry, we got to get this in. Who won that contest? Gosh, what is his name?
Oh, I don't know, some dude.
All right, there's our obligatory. Yeah, actually.
Dovetail, is that his name?
I think it's Dustin.
Was it Miguel Roberto?
Dustin Roberts Dustin? Or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Was it Al Gore? That was a different one.
Well, if we don't mention Dustin every week during one of the Cantina segments,
is it contractual?
Yeah, he beats us. So
yeah,
really?
yeah, he does. What a fun group!
They were just a lot of fun. We really appreciate them coming on and talking to us.
Make sure you're here next week for part two of our interview with Bonnie, Tom, and Matt.
You're listening to the Weekly Forcecast with Jason and Pete.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message after the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And we've got your listener mail and Star Wars tales. We're going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to start with just regular old listener mail. Not just any listener mail. We've got some listener voicemail from our friend John in Connecticut. So, John, take it away, buddy.
Hey, Jay and Pete. I just wanted to drop you guys a line and say thank you so much for picking up the Forcecast. With no movies coming out and Star Wars kind of fading away as much as I thought, you guys really reinstalled the old hyperdrive and put this stuff back into my life, and I can't thank you enough for that. I also want to just thank you so much for the amount of time and effort you put into each show. I realize that it must take hours and hours of preparation, and I can't thank you enough, especially since you guys aren't getting paid. I wish I could do something to thank you, so this is what I could come up with. I know that some people have told you to tinker with the show. I like it just the way it is. Everything in one shot is fine for me. Or if you want to break it down and make microcasts, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. It's like a Christmas present during the middle of the week. It's a fantastic thing. But once again, I just really wanted to thank you guys and keep up the good work. And we'll talk to you later. All right? Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, John. That's unbelievable.
That's a great voicemail, and we love to get the voicemails.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 330-871-4TFN or Forcecast on Skype. You can leave us these voicemails. Honestly, we did not put John up to that. What do you say when you get something like that? John, the pleasure is all ours.
And it's doing this for guys like you that make it all worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Every single minute.
Yep, no doubt about it. Now, you've probably noticed that we read a lot of viewer mail, or excuse me, listener mail. We haven't started the video cast yet, but what did I say? Did I just commit us to something?
Are you talking me into another thing?
But anyway, we got an email from our buddy here, MK, and he's taking us to task. He says, come on, guys, let the Eubanks thing go. He was making a joke. Who cares? Nothing says dork like fans being offended by someone making fun. Best example being the PC Trekker replacement for the derogatory Trekkie. Anyway, great show. Then he goes on to ask about a link that he didn't see. Okay, so I replied to him. I said, okay, point taken, but I disagree with your comparison. I said, Eubank's comment was not the same as the Trekkie versus Trekker. A person's work ethic and value in society as a viable member of the workforce should not be called into question the way that Eubanks did. And I said, and it wasn't funny. In fact, we have the quote, the clip. So let's go ahead and play that just to put this in context.
They are really a group of people that are just huge Star Wars fans.
They're groupies.
No, I wouldn't even say that. These people are dedicated to Star Wars. And I have to tell you, there is no sight quite like seeing 200 stormtroopers march down your street.
There's a bunch of guys that need to get a job.
Hey.
Okay. Now, this story does have a happy ending, and we'll get to that in just a second. But so MK writes back. He says, all right, let's go after the clueless old man for quite a while now on two separate podcasts. By the way, this is three, MK, for jokingly suggesting that guys dressed up in costumes should get a job. Do they have jobs? Yes, great, fine. That isn't the point. I'm not saying it was funny, but just that people need to lighten up. The Trekkie example was a general one, pointing out that it's a bit absurd that political correctness even trickles into fandom. Next thing will be, I'm not a fanboy, I'm a stormtrooper American. I agree, Eubanks is a moron, but the reaction is silly, in my opinion. If you disagree, fair enough, just hope you see my point. I do see your point, MK, and when I first read it, I'm a stormtrooper American.
That's very funny.
It's very good. So we appreciate the this is what it's all about. I share this not because we want to dredge up the Eubanks thing, but I just don't want people to think that we only play voicemails and read emails from folks like John that just have nice things to say about us. You know, MK disagreed. But the happy ending is we've got word from our sources at the 501st that Mr. Eubanks has apologized. He has actually made a phone call, I believe, to a number of the folks at the 501st, particularly the founder, I believe, Albin. So he's making efforts, and they've invited him out to some of the activities that they're involved in. And he said as soon as his schedule clears that he'll take a look at those and go out after him. So I think that, you know, yes, it was kind of an off-the-cuff thing.
If he makes good on it, it becomes a really good story, because then
it does.
Both sides benefit from it.
Exactly. And we don't want it to be one of those ridiculous feuds like Rosie and Trump. And,
yeah.
You know, we're not trying to make a feud out of it. I think, and Pete, you said, just tell the listeners what you were saying earlier about why we were upset about this.
My feeling on it was anybody can make fun of, or I can make fun of my little brother whenever I want, because he's my little brother. But anybody outside of my family or somebody who doesn't know him makes fun of him all of a sudden and can say the exact same thing that I just said.
Right.
And I'm going to go nuts.
Ugly. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, we can in the community, we can make jokes and laugh and kid. But it's when it's somebody outside of the community, it kind of rubs you the wrong way.
Right. And it was kind of obvious that they really didn't know what the whole thing was about. And right. And now I'm sure he probably does.
Absolutely. And he's more informed. And, you know, we don't wish anything bad on Mr. Eubanks. I'm glad that we've got it aired out, and MK's going nuts. He's like, no, they're taking too much time. They can't talk about this. But I think it's big news.
It's
also it showed, I think, a lot of class in the way all the guys at the 501st handled this. They handled it in a great way. They did get in touch with Eubanks' people and said, hey, come out and watch us do what we do before you make up your mind. And so I think I don't think Bob Eubanks will be making fun of Star Wars fans anytime soon. Moving on. MK can sleep tonight now. It's the last time we'll bring it up.
We won't even talk about it anymore.
That's right. It's over. Promise. We'll never play it again. Anyway, we got some Star Wars tales. Pete, you want to take the first one?
And our first one comes from James in the south of England. And he says, I've always been tempted to send in my Star Wars moment, but I've never gotten around to it. But when I heard your comment about not many people having a Sam Jackson autograph, I knew I had to send this in. It was on May 22nd, 2000, and the buzz of Episode 1 was still fairly high, especially if you're 12 years old and have been a Star Wars fan since you can remember. Thank my parents and siblings. My mom's partner is a captain for British Airways, which is awesome because I get cheap flights, and it made my trip to C3 and eventually C4 all the more doable. Well, on this particular trip to New York, my mom and I had gone along, and on the flight home, there was a lot of open seats in first class. So Paul used his captain's influence to upgrade us. That had been cool in its own right, But then he was informed by someone on the crew that Mr. Snakes on a Plane was in business class with a few members of his family, so they got to upgrade as well. I was not going to miss the opportunity of a lifetime. During the flight over, I went over and asked if I could have an autograph, and he was more than happy to oblige. I then listed a few of my favorite films of his, and of course, Star Wars came up. He then got excited and just wanted to talk about it more and more. He said how he was hoping to get to use a lightsaber in one of the next two films, but was just excited to be part of the saga. All in all, he was every bit as cool as he seems. Yes, he was wearing a Kangol hat. Not sure what that is. I'll never forget. And he sent a picture along of the autograph, and it says, James, be smart, be good, be brave. Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's very cool.
It's always great to hear about celebrities who are down to earth. And
everything you hear about Samuel L. Jackson is that he loves. I mean, I think it's one of the reasons why he works so much, because the guy makes tons of movies. He's got an incredible work ethic. He comes out of the theater. So, you know, theater actors tend to have that kind of, oh God, I'll take every job because I never know when it's going to dry up. And there's a lot to be said for that. I mean, he's an actor. That's what he does. And he loves being an actor and loves interaction with fans. And then, of course, you know, he practically begged for a role in Star Wars. So
yeah, like you have to sit and beg after all the things that he's done.
Yeah, but you know what? He kind of did have to beg for Star Wars.
Well, that,
I mean, because George isn't beholden to the Hollywood establishment. So,
yeah.
You know, or we'd have had Leonardo DiCaprio as Anakin. Which... Never mind. All right, moving on. We're going to have to talk about that one time.
I don't want to.
No, I think we should.
All right.
We should. Maybe we should do a review of the films in a future episode. We'll, like, you review the film and I'll review the film. We won't collaborate on it because some of these issues, you know, particularly with the prequels, I will be an apologist for the prequels. You know how I am.
I know.
So, and I will defend Hayden Christensen to the end.
To the very end.
Yes. He's my cousin, but...
He's also paid me $25 to do it.
No, I just want to get him on the show. It's really all.
Yeah.
You know. I'm kind of hoping
Pipe
that...
dreams.
Well, I'm kind of hoping that his star kind of falls a little bit so that he would end up on our...
Wait. Rather than hoping that our podcast comes up and is all of a sudden mainstream.
That's
yes,
much
thank
better.
You very much.
All right, our last Star Wars tale for the week comes from Matthew, also in England, this time from London. He says, I have a quick Star Wars tale for you. When I was at university in the early 90s, I shared a house with two other guys and two girls, all of whom who liked Star Wars in a very casual way. One night we were talking about our hidden talents, and I said that I could recite the script of the entire original trilogy from memory. There were only three films then, of course. I had never actually tried to do it, but I felt pretty confident. I'm sure a lot of other fans who have seen the movies many times could do the same, but my housemates weren't real fans, and so the idea seemed impossible to them. They bet me £5. He's got to rub it in. That's about $9, you know, about twice. About $9 each that I couldn't do it. I was a poor student, and that seemed like a lot of money to me, so I took the bet, and we started the video of A New Hope. I said every line in time with the actors, and I even spoke the opening crawl with my back to the screen. We got as far as the deaths of Owen and Beru before my housemates just couldn't take it anymore. They accepted that I had won the bet. I didn't take their money because none of us could actually really afford it, but we went to the pub, and I didn't have to buy my own drinks all night. Great show, guys, and keep it up. All good wishes.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Of course I'm worried, and you should be too. Lando Calrissian and Paul Chewbacca never returned from this awful place. If I told you how... All right. I could do them. I think I could do them.
I think you could.
I probably could do... Oh, I definitely could do the original trilogy and parts of the prequels. I've seen Sith a lot lately because of the HBO thing.
Yeah.
So I might be able to do that. The opening crawl, I don't know that I could. That's tough.
That's impressive.
Because I don't even read it anymore.
No.
So it's been, when I do read it, it's like, oh, that's new to me. It is a talent. It is a talent. I think that's something we should do at C4. I think what we ought to do, it would be a cool contest where you get the people and you line them up like four or five and you say, go. And they all go. And it's like, you know, if they screw up a line, boom, they got to sit down.
Simon Says.
Right. Yeah. Right. And they got to sit down. So if you're listening out there, Mary Franklin, those of you, Steve Sansweet, I think that'd be a kind of a cool little contest at C4. Maybe we'll do it for the Forcecast. Who knows? We're going to have all kinds of fun things planned for that week. And you and I are going to have our friggin' tongues hanging out by the end of it. I know we're going to be exhausted, but it's going to be a good kind of tired.
But it's like when you come off the ride after you've been screaming your head off and go, let's do it again.
There's your listener mail. If you want to get these emails and voicemails into us, there's a variety of ways you can do it. You can send us an email, podcast@theforce.net, or you can Skype us at Forcecast, or you can send us, that'd be the voicemail portion, or you just, if you don't have Skype, and I don't know why you don't, it's a headset and a free download away. Well, you could dial us up at 330-871-4TFN. Don't forget about our message boards, the forums over at rebelscum.com.
This is the Forcecast with Jason and Pete.
I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
The galaxy is listening.
Well, that music only means one thing. Another show in the can. Tina. We want to thank our guests in the cantina. Bonnie Burton, Tom Hodges, and Matt Bush. The book is You Can Draw Star Wars. It's available on our show notes. Click the link and give us a little love at theforce.net and rebelscum.com. We want to thank you also for heading over to dig.com and digging the Forcecast. Please continue to do it. We appreciate all the support and all the love that you've been giving us. I want to thank our sponsors, Official Picks. And I want to thank you, Pete, for always being there. And you know what I mean.
I got you, brother.
Just kind of came through a rough patch, and I think I'm back on top. And I want to thank you publicly for making the last couple of weeks a lot easier than what it might have been. So appreciate that. Appreciate all the emails, all the voicemails. Keep them coming. That's podcast@theforce.net, or Skype us at Forcecast, or send us a voicemail, or leave us a voicemail, rather, at 330-871-4TFN. And remember our forums, as we discussed last week, you got to check out the forums.
You never know what's going to show up.
Might be doing contests, might be giving things away. That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next week, and keep checking, because you never know when one of those microcasts might drop. Thank you, Jimmy Mack, our announcer, and everyone at theforce.net and rebelscum.com. See you next time, folks.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC, unless otherwise indicated.